Hey there, you're with Disembodied Podcast. This is Evie Escher. This week I've got Birgitte Visser with me. She's originally from Holland, and she's currently a soul empowerment coach and a light configurator. In the past, she's been a model, a bartender, a promo girl, a dog walker, a healer, a web designer, and she even created her own organic soap line, designed jewelry, and taught holistic workshops. She's even had a corporate job. As a world traveler, she's gotten herself into quite a few difficult situations, but she's managed to come away from the pain and adventure with nothing but positivity. She learned to embrace the quirky aspects of herself, even while going through some trauma along the way. Birgitte has found a way to surf the cosmic dimensional waves across the multiverse so that she can deliver messages she receives from the collective of light beings in the hope that people will awaken to what this incarnation is about for them. She'll give us a sample of light language later in the interview. This is a healing language rather than a language that's just used to convey information as we're used to. So that's kind of interesting. I also want to add that we talked a little bit about frequencies. Birgitte mentions 432 as a frequency. It's a healing frequency. It's supposed to reduce anxiety and give you emotional healing and support intuition. So this is part of the solfeggio frequencies. There are many, actually. I looked some of them up just so I could elaborate on this a little. 285 hertz would be for safety, energy, and survival. 396 hertz is to liberate from fear and guilt. 417 hertz is to facilitate change and undoing of situations. 528 hertz is to create miracles and transform DNA. 639 hertz, I think I've used that one quite a bit. It says that it's to reconnect and enhance relationships. 741 hertz would be to find solutions and self-express. 852 hertz is to return to a spiritual order. And 963 hertz would be for creating room for oneness and unity. So these are different hertz frequencies that you can use. They're featured very often on YouTube, and you can take advantage of this sort of sound healing effect. And binaural beats are two tones that sound like one when you're listening to them. So that's also a healing mode, a healing frequency. So this is a great interview. Birgitte has a lot of experience, and we're going to talk about a lot of different things. So sit tight. We're just about to get started. Birgitte, welcome to Disembodied Podcast. It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me, Evie.
You have an interesting history of having lived in different countries, which, you know, I love. I've lived in Germany before. I've said that many times on the podcast. And I'm kind of interested in some of the places you've lived in and what your spiritual experience was, you know, what you were perceiving spiritually when you were in Istanbul, for example, versus Florida versus Holland, the different places you've lived in. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I grew up partially in Holland, right? And then went to Singapore, Malaysia, did part of my high school there. When I was about 18, well, we went back to Holland at the age of 14. But then when I was 18, 19, I started to travel, went to Paris, didn't like it. Oh my gosh, I did not like Paris. It was very cold and very desolate to me. But that actually had to do with a past life, funnily enough. And then went to Milan. Wasn't a big fan either, but lived in Germany for a few years, actually. I lived in Nuremberg and not far from Munich. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And where else have I lived? Yes, I've lived in Istanbul as well for about a year. Absolutely loved the culture, loved the people. At the time, back in the 90s, people were like, well, isn't it a dangerous city? And I'm like, no, because it just depends on your mentality and your attitude. And I was modeling out there, and I was bartending, because I was always one. I've always wanted to work. I started to work when I was like 15, and that was back in Holland. I was still in high school, and in those, I mean, in back in the 90s, my sister and I helped pay the rent. We helped my mom out because my dad died when I was 14, and that was kind of normal. It doesn't seem to be that way these days anymore because times have changed. But yeah, Istanbul was I mean, I was young, I was naive, but I really enjoyed it, and I even learned a little bit of Turkish. But from there, I mean, I've been to Cape Town as well, spent a couple of months down there. And the modeling industry is fickle. It's very fickle. It's like a cattle market. And so the only reason that I got into it is because, when my dad died, I was carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders, and I got bullied very badly at school as well. And also because I was abused as a kid, so my self-worth went to below zero, so to speak. And so my mom put me on this course, this modeling course, and she thought that would help me, but it actually didn't, because a hairdresser, bless his cotton socks, he's a lovely person. I'm still in touch with him today. I had long hair till here, and he cut it very short. It was like pixie crop. And I looked in the mirror, and I was like, yeah, no, that didn't do me any good. I felt horrified, honestly. So it dented my self-confidence even further. But I did give the modeling a go, and wherever I went, I like I said, I always worked. But I mean, Cape Town was an eye-opener because it was such a cattle market. Honestly, you had to stand in queues, sometimes 2 hours, just to show your portfolio, and they would just flick through it very quickly, and then it was like, okay, thank you, I take my set card, and that was it, because I never really worked, but I never stopped trying. And that's why I moved around so much. I went to New York and stayed there for on and off for I think 2 years, and then went back to the UK and worked within oil and gas. But for me, I mean, when I lived in The Hague, and this is back in 2000 to about 2008, when I lived in The Hague and I met someone online, MySpace is really old. I don't think it even exists anymore. And I met someone that was very toxic for me, but was an amazing reflection to my very naive spirit. I mean, everyone that we meet is a teacher to us, right? And people here that come across your path and they're teachers, all your experiences that you have with these people, they're not here to taunt you, but they're here to help you, expand your consciousness, and they're here to help you understand life. But I was thrown into the world of drugs because I mean, he was a part-time crack addict, and I had no idea. And then he got involved with the Crips and in Holland, and it got so bad. I mean, I'd never seen someone, like kind of slip away so quickly. But I mean, he had crack hands, and he showed me this, and he said, "Brigitte, if I ever do this again," he's like, "I want you to show me this picture." But I was a broken bird, and what you do is you attract another broken bird, right? And it just doesn't work, because I had to fix myself just as he had to fix himself, but I didn't understand that at the time. And so, my mom, I mean, I did save his life, because he was held for ransom, and the police knew about what was going on. And my mom took me out of this situation within the space of like 2 or 3 days, and I moved back to the UK. Then I did help the police in the meantime, and they found him, and he was deported back to the US. But the guy in Holland, the leader of the Crips, said if you ever found him, he would make sure that they find him in a ditch somewhere. And if he ever found me, he would kill me. So I was happy to be out of the country. But that was a catalyst to my healing journey. It is what I needed. These are the experiences I chose, and I took responsibility. Yes, I took a whole box of ibuprofens because I didn't really want to go on anymore. But all that happened, Evie, was I had a good night's sleep, and I didn't have a headache in the morning, in the morning when I woke up.
Yeah,
So
but wait a minute, wait a minute. Ibuprofen causes liver failure, doesn't it?
I don't know, we call it Nurofen here, so it's probably I think it's ibuprofen and or aspirin.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of Tylenol. Acetaminophen will cause liver failure, so maybe ibuprofen won't damage you as much.
Or I have, I'm a cat and I have 9 lives. But
Probably.
so, I mean, I went to see a counselor, right? And the counselor said to me, Brigitta, well, you're going to be fine. You know, you're strong enough, you'll be fine. And I was just sitting there and I was thinking, you know what, this is not helping me. So I did my research and I found a Reiki healer. And that opened the door to, first of all, healing myself. Right. She helped me a lot, and she became my teacher because I did level one and two. You know, and back in the day, back then, you didn't study Reiki in the space of a weekend, right? I mean, it took 6 months before you had your Reiki level one because you had to do case studies, or in this case, I had to do self-healing, and for level two, I had to have case studies, you know. So it took time. And from then on, I started. I mean, I studied a lot of healing methodologies. I studied EFT, which I think is very powerful, the emotional freedom technique, because basically you tap, because we're energy, right? So you tap the emotional, the emotional blocks, the emotional issues that you have, you tap them out of your system, because emotions means energy in motion, because that courses through us, because we're energy. It's very simple. And that helped me a lot. And I helped so many people with that because it was such a simple healing technique. And I studied drug and alcohol abuse, meditation, relaxation therapy, aroma therapy, aroma touch. I loved aroma touch. Yeah. So I studied for quite a few years and I was working as well. And it helped me a lot because I think people forget that you can't move forward unless you heal yourself, right? There is a saying that I've always been given, and I use it quite often. And it's, if you don't love yourself, how can you heal yourself? And if you don't heal yourself, how can you ever love yourself and return to the wholesome nature of who you most authentically are? Because you keep walking around with this dis-ease within yourself, right? Where your soul is not aligned with your body. And that is completely your choice. And that's why I say your experiences are meant to elevate you and not for you to remain where you are. You know, your soul is real, right? Your experiences are just your experiences. But people tend to think they're so real. And it's like often people can't forgive and they can't love, and that's, and they can't love themselves, and they can't forgive others nor forgive themselves. And that's because we've been so conditioned to believe certain things, or believe, you know, we've been led to believe to live a certain kind of life according to the societal paradigm, right? The societal norm. And people get lost in the maze of their experience here in this jungle of earth, as I call it. You know, it's also the ego that is battering the soul, so to speak. I always call it that way. It's the, you know, it's the cop at the door, but it's our mind. You know, what we feed our mind is how we create our reality, or the perception of reality. And we program our mind according to how we're raised and according to how, you know, what society feeds us. I mean, I've switched off from society a long time ago, and what goes on? I live in my own little bubble, and I always say, well, they know me up there, so it's okay. But yeah, that's not the only time I hit rock bottom, you know, because life is like, and this is an analogy I use a lot, it's like an onion layer, right? And every time we go through something, we peel back that layer and we cry and we go through that traumatic experience, whatever that may be. And then we go on to the next experience, and so forth, until we get to our most authentic version of self.
Looking at you, it's hard for me to think that you would have had low self-esteem because you're beautiful. And I can't even imagine, like, you know, this you're talking about many years ago when you were a model, but even now you're a very beautiful woman. And it
Thank
strikes
you.
me that women are kind of, it's like even if they have a lot going for themselves, it's hard for them to acknowledge that or something. It's hard for them to see the self-worth, and they get involved with sometimes really awful men. You're seeing those men that you were around as maybe a springboard, a catalyst for your transformation, which is great. But they could have taken you to your death easily. I mean, a lot of people will listen to this and think, wow, you know, she could have died easily. And you don't hate them, though. I sense that you don't hate them. You realize you had different boundaries and you had to choose better people for your life, you know, to be around.
It got worse after that.
Well, how did it get worse? I mean, was it again involving men or?
Yeah, it was. But, you know, let me just say, everyone's like, and I've said this before, everyone's a reflection of you, right? Everyone's your teacher. So how can I, if I were to walk around with all the bitterness, right, and all the hate, how could I ever move forward in life? I love them for having been in my life and having opened my eyes through the experiences I went with, you know, with them. And when I lived in St. Petersburg, because I bought a property out there, and, you know, the market crashed back in 2012, 2013. And I was just pulled in that direction. And I'm just one, you know, I will just hop on a plane and just go because I'm a risk taker. And I've always been like that, even though I've suffered. Oh, my gosh, for the longest time, I suffered from low self-esteem. And I actually used to starve myself. That was my superpower, because that was the only thing that I could control, you know. And I would soldier on and I would keep working, because that is the way that I was programmed. That's the way how I conditioned myself. But I did meet someone else, and bless his cotton socks, he was a procrastinator, and then he had a reckless under his belt, and then his mother died on top of that, and he just couldn't cope. He moved from an hour away to two doors down from me, and I wasn't with him anymore, but he wouldn't accept that. And he's like, how can you not love me anymore? He's like, people work things out, they learn to love one another again. And I said, no, I said, we're not singing from the same hymn sheet, basically. I said, we're not compatible. We're not meant for each other. You see, my issue was that in a way I enabled them, because I was always helping them to find work, right? Because wherever I went, I was like a chameleon. You know, I was doing my bartending. I was doing promo work. I was doing admin work. I had no issues. But the people that I attracted, oh my gosh, they were the complete opposite. And so, you know, he had no money. And so I had to buy food for him and I had to help him out. And I was trying to be there for him. But the thing is, I was digging my own grave as well, because it just depleted me. And I actually sold my home, that my first home in St. Petersburg, just to get away from him. And I loved that home. I should have left then, but because it's very funny, I felt like a failure, right? I done up that first home and I said to my mom, I feel like a failure. I feel like I need to buy another house, you know, just to prove to myself that I can do it. But he didn't really leave me alone. And I tried to help him out, and it got so bad, because I would be on the floor at night just crying my eyes out and screaming at spirit, because sometimes he'd just pop around my house to see if I was there. And I didn't want him, you know, I just didn't want him to come knocking on my door, use the keys, because he had refused to return my keys, because he said to me, but you never asked me. I said, yes, I did. And I said, your response was that you would call immigration on me. And I said to him, well, that I was going to call the cops on him. And I, why would I have done that? You know, but yeah, it was just really bad. And he was just really needy. And he had that fear of losing me, but he had to sort out his own life. And I was screaming at night at spirit and saying, I cannot go on like this anymore. I really, really can't. I was at such a low, but people never realized that, because I would be working and people would just see the smile on my face, because it was none of their business. I've always learned to resolve my own issues, and I would have my mom as a sound, you know, a springboard or a soundboard, so to speak. So she knew a lot, but I kept a lot hidden because I didn't want her to worry. And then I got a breadcrumb from spirit, and they did that in the form of my sister. Unfortunately, I'm not in touch with her because we're like two peas in a pod, but I love her regardless. And it was in the form of kambo. And she had done kambo before, which is shamanic healing, where they use the monkey tree frog, right? And they scrape the poison from the monkey tree frog, and the shaman burns points into your skin, and the poison gets put on top of that. And what happens is, oh my goodness, I had this big yellow bucket on the side of me, right? This beautiful sunshine bucket, but I wasn't feeling so peachy because I was just purging and purging, and it came out top and bottom. So I was running up and down, and I mean, the shaman was used to it. He was used to it, but it took about 4 hours because my ego was battling so much against me, you know, and because everything was so deeply ingrained within me, that conditioning was so deeply ingrained. He said to me, 4 hours is a long time, but I managed it. And it's so funny because I was so much clearer after that. And I did it two more times, actually. But I made that change, right? Because I wanted to change. I made a bucket list. So the first thing I put on there was, because I had a fear of heights. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to go and do skydiving. So I did. And then I went hang gliding. And when my stepdad passed away from cancer in 2000, I had promised him that I was going to run for cancer. And that stayed in my head. I was running in my head for like 16 years until I finally did. And I did many 5Ks for cancer in Florida. I ran many and I loved it. I really, really loved it. But the thing is with healing, right? With healing, people can go to a healer, right? And a healer is a tool. I always say a healer is a tool in the toolbox, but you still have to take that responsibility and make those changes, right? Because nothing happens by magic. You really have to do the work. And so from there, one day, it was like spirit kicked me out the door. It was several weeks later in 2016. And there was a fair like 5 minutes down the road. I'm like, I'm not going. And they were like so insistent. It was like I could hear it in my head. And they were like, you're gonna go. And I was like, fine, I'll go. So off I went. And that's where I met my then mentor. She mentored me for quite a few years, Alania Starhawk. And she works with the Akashic Records. So I went through a lot of past lives, you know, to heal. But that the powerful thing about Akashic Record healing is I didn't understand why my ex wouldn't leave me alone. And that had to do with a past life in the Middle Ages. And it was very, very interesting because what she did not know is that I suffered tremendously from stomach issues. Like as soon as I started going out with him, a couple of months down the line, I started to have them. And it was, I couldn't hold anything. I couldn't even hold a cup of tea. It was basically, and I mean, this could happen to a lot of people, right? When you go out with someone or you meet someone, there is stuff that will come bubbling to the surface. And it could be this lifetime, it could be past lifetimes. And that's actually a beautiful thing because it's asking to be healed. And that's exactly what it was asking. It was asking to be healed. And in a past life, he had poisoned me with a bit of a charlatan and he wanted to climb the societal ladder. And it was in the Middle Ages. And I the only thing I remember, because I had a really beautiful home and all these wood carvings, and I had these little wooden boxes, really nicely carved, and I kept opening them. So I'm not sure if there were herbs in there. I never really figured it out. But yeah, the village where I lived or the town where I lived, they respected me. But as I was on the floor, you know, crying of my home, what he'd done was he poisoned me over a period of time, stating that he was trying to cure me, but it was the opposite. And so in this lifetime, it's kind of like, yeah, I helped him out, but I enabled him. And once that was done, that healing was done, that the dynamics changed. That's what it does, you know, because the energy is gone, the residue is gone that you carried, and everything changed. And that's how powerful it is. But it's also where I learned to channel. And I'm just one of these people where I like my solitude, right? I'm not always good with people. I don't like overcrowded places. And that's probably because I'm a bit of an empath, although that's a mindset. But overcrowded places, I can't do. I can't deal with them. It's like London, for instance, right? I mean, that's too heavy for me. I go there and I come back, and I'm honestly, Evie, I'm physically ill because the energy is so dense, it's so heavy in there. Not to mention it's a very polluted city, but many people love it. I used to love it, but not anymore.
Yeah, I've been there before and I didn't like it as much as I wanted to like it, but I do like the British Museum. That was like the highlight of going to London for me. But there are other parts of England that I appreciate more than London, I would say. I'm kind of interested in how you started channeling, because actually that was an interesting past life story that you told. And it reminds me about a lot of articles I've read recently where somebody has slowly poisoned their husband, or the wife was slowly poisoned. I mean, this type of stuff still happens today, obviously. There are all sorts of substances out there that you can slowly poison someone with, and so it doesn't surprise me that that was happening a long time ago as well. But that's kind of fascinating. But tell me about channeling. Like, how did you get into it? Because I remember a long time ago, when I learned how to meditate, I was kind of thinking, oh, I was doubting that channeling was even real. I thought people were making it up for the longest time. And then the more I meditated, I started realizing that I was channeling, that spirits were talking through me, and I was starting to say things I didn't even know I was going to say. So, what happened with you?
I went to this course, a channeling course with Alanya Starhawk, and there were many people. And as I said, I like my solitude. I'm a bit of a loner, always kind of have been. I was sitting there on a pillow, whilst the rest was sitting in a circle. And she did a meditation, right? And she counted to three, and I was gone. And then she counted back from three, two, one, and I came back into the room. So everyone was saying, oh, they saw the ascended masters, they saw the angels, they saw the guides, and they saw them very, they could describe them, then they got messages. And there I was sitting like, I didn't get anything, right? And I was really upset. I was really upset, and I was crying. So I was wiping the tears away and the snot from my nose with the sleeve of my vest. And she gave a really good example of how she started channeling. And she just said, she sat there with a pad and a pen, and she said to spirit, I am ready to channel. I am ready to receive. And that's how it started for her. So that exercise stuck in my head. So I darted off at the end of the class, not speaking to anyone. And that's what I did that night when I got home. I sat down and I did the exact same thing. And the words just started to come. And it was Old English, and I didn't even think about it. I think my mind was just so switched off at that point. It just started to flow. And I was actually crying tears of joy. And I started to do it every single day. Then in the meantime, I still went to healing, for healing sessions to her. It cleared a lot up. And then she saw what I wrote, and she said, you see, all you needed to do was just unblock it, and here you are channeling again. And I looked at her and I'm like, yeah, but I've never channeled before. And then she looked at me and she's like, actually, that's really amazing what you channeled. But when you start channeling, right, it's really about helping to heal yourself, because that's what it is. And it helped me so much. And the other thing that I did, what really helped me, was that I, of course, I had my cards. And so I would pick either the Ascended Master card or the Archangels, and I would just pick a card. And then I would sit and I would just channel the message and sometimes things about their life, right? Because I thought that was a great exercise rather than looking it up on Google, because that's cheating.
That's a great tip for anybody who wants to get into oracle cards or tarot, is just start pulling a card or a few cards a day for yourself and getting in touch with what you even think it means for you, the cards you're pulling. Because it's always better to understand it in relation to yourself before you even do any type of reading for other people. Because I think that everybody has kind of a slightly different interpretation for the cards because it's based on what they've found for themselves in the readings. And so
Yes.
it's such a personal thing. And that's why it's better not to debate, like, oh, what does the temperance card mean? Well, this person says it means this, that other person means it means something entirely different. So you need to just kind of get a feel for what it means to you, and then you can also
Yes.
translate that for other people.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. I mean, the little booklets are great, but I don't really use them because I like to look at the card and see what it means. Because what you do otherwise, you think too much and you start to analyze rather than using your intuition, right? Rather than using your gut and using all your senses and see what you feel when you pull the card.
Yeah, I remember getting like a long time ago when I was playing around with tarot cards, kind of trying to get serious about it. I would get so confused with my own readings. I was like, wait a minute, I thought I read that it meant this. And I was like battling myself. And then I would kind of put it away for a while. And then I think, okay, I need to take a different approach, just relax. And when I would just relax and not get obsessed about finding the correct meaning, then I would seem to get like the input that I needed, the intuitive input. To this day, a lot of times when I pull cards for myself, I'll kind of ask spirit guides if I'm understanding it correctly. I often do like a check-in, like, have I understood this correctly? I'll think of what it means to me, the reading, and then I'll say, am I understanding this right? Because I often want some sort of spirit input when I'm reading anything.
That makes sense. Absolutely. Absolutely. And just to finish off on that, so I mean, like with my ex, he's turned his life around. He's doing very well for himself now. And I look back and I think, he was such a wonderful teacher, such a wonderful teacher. And I sometimes I'm still in touch with him. And I mean, I love him for having been part of my life. Not so much at the time, but I look back now and I think, thank you. Some people say that, oh, if I could do a do-over with my life, I'd do it differently. I don't think I would do it differently because I wouldn't be who I am today. And I value that far, far more. It doesn't mean that my life is a bed of roses always, but I understand the experiences. Whatever's thrown my way, it's fine by me because I just go with the flow and I just I resolve it. But there's no point in huffing and puffing, like the big bad wolf, and getting frustrated because all you do is you run around like a dog chasing its own tail. Yeah, what's the point in that?
You have a very gentle view of people in your past. I like that. I really do, because at times I've been completely glad that I had the guts, the chutzpah to give people the boot. There were
Yeah.
some characters in my life earlier that I just could never put up with today. I put up with a lot when I was younger, and
Yeah.
I'm glad. Looking back, I'm more like you in a way. I'm trying to be generous to them somewhat. They made me set boundaries. And they,
Yes.
even my own family, I've had to set some major boundaries with them. So I guess I'm grateful for that. Although I do get a little cranky sometimes when I think of the things that people put me through. And but I was a willing, I guess I was taking part in it. I was willing to be put through the mill. If they wanted to put me through the mill, I was willing to be put through the mill. And that makes me mad too. I don't like that about myself, that I was too nice sometimes, but I did learn my lessons.
And that's the main thing, right? You take the lessons from the experiences. I mean, I've been that lovely doormat syndrome. It's welcome, welcome, walk all over me. I will help you out. But we have to remember, I think people forget that before we are born, we choose our lessons, right? And then when we're born, when we incarnate, we forget all of that because we're whacked on the head. We're knocked out cold and we have to find our way in this world. And so The thing is, there is no right or wrong in how you choose to experience life. Absolutely not. That is, I think, that is just society, right? And people judge one another. Right? Why? You know, you've only got yourself with it. And I don't really judge people anymore. I mean, because it's a little bit alien to me now. And I always say it doesn't matter what people say about you, what they think about you. What matters is what you think about yourself and how you feel about yourself, because you're not here to understand other people. You're here to understand, the you and you. Everyone else around you is just a teacher and it's just a reflection. And if we would see that, right, then we could. Oh my gosh, I think the world would be a different place, because basically, as the Ascended Master Saint Germain always says, he can sum it up in a few words. Life is a return to love, nothing more, nothing less. And that is really true, because if we return to a love for ourselves, right, and we disintegrate all the labels in our mind, right, and we uncondition the conditioned mind, back to our authentic nature, and life would be, life would be so completely different for all of us.
Yeah, it's, consciousness is evolving at an uneven pace
Yes.
for the world, for humans. And so the more of us that can make somewhat of a breakthrough, it's maybe going to help all of us, but it's going to be uneven. And that's the thing we have to remember, I think, is that there's no magic wand that is going to touch to the earth and, humanity is going to be, like in a new headspace. There's a lot of down and dirty stuff, that we have to work through, obviously. But who are you connecting with, do you think, most often, like when you have messages from spirit or, when you're meditating or whatever, who do you feel like you're really connecting with? Do you know the spirits that are out there?
So it's a bit all over the board. So I always say I'm like this bike messenger between the here and there, because I'm Dutch, right? So we Dutch bike a lot, and I'm just here to listen to whoever wants to convey a message. But I do work with the Ascended Master Saint Germain a lot, because I love his sense of humor. I don't think, truth be told, without a sense of humor, I think life would have maybe have been a bit more difficult, so to speak. But many of them have a sense of humor, and even Archangel Michael, he's a lot of fun. He talks in my book about, it's quite funny, about depression, and it's like 2 pages long. And I'm like, seriously, I said, what do you think people are going to think? I said, you've got like verbal diarrhea. And he goes, yeah, but I can sum it up in one sentence. Depression means you shut your mind to hell. So, in a way, but yeah, so I also work with the Ascended Master Hilarion. Yeah, so these are kind of the three main ones, but I also work with the Galactic, so the Pleiadians, the Sirians, the Venusians. I actually work quite a bit when it comes to light language, because I speak light language now as well with the Venusians and Sirians, and they're very different.
Okay, is light language like an angelic language, or what is it?
Some people work with the archangels as well, but light language healing is, to me, is very galactic. It doesn't speak on a conscience level, right? It speaks to you on a soul level. That's what it does. And you start to heal. It's been very powerful, because I've had sessions in the past where I've had aches and pains, and I went to Louise Rhodes here in the UK, and honestly, after one session, right, the pain would dissipate. It was gone. It's because she went into past lives, whether earthly or galactic, because I've had many galactic lives, and it was gone. And sometimes healing is that simple.
I guess it's you have to have the desire to heal in an
Yes.
unusual way because doctors don't always achieve much.
No, this is very true.
Yeah, that's interesting. I have a book. It's about how to I believe I haven't read it lately. I read it years ago, but it was, I should reread it. It's about how to ask certain healing entities to work on you basically at night
Yes.
or whenever. And I don't know if they're galactic. I would have to see by rereading the book, obviously, but that's an interesting idea to me is, and I've been lately trying to ask, like if I feel I have a health issue or something, I've been trying to ask Raphael
Yeah.
if I can be checked out. And I've often gotten messages that I'm okay and the problems I have might be worrisome to me, but they're not really big problems like health issues, truly. So, I've been trying to experiment with that myself. But the galactic stuff, I don't know that I've ever tuned into a galactic spirit. I mean, what is it? What is the difference between the angels and the galactic spirits?
Not really, they're all energy. It's just, the archangels were, I mean, they're star seeds, right? I always say archangels, everything's in the wording. And you mentioned Archangel Raphael. I love him. I love him. And when I was going through, I had done pole dancing before and I'd ripped all the muscles in my upper torso. I couldn't even breathe. And I actually asked Archangel Raphael for help. And he said to me, Brigitte, that's fine. But he's like, I'm going to channel to you what the definition of Archangel means. And then I will help heal you. So it was kind of like a quid pro quo, which sounds ridiculous, right? But I channeled it in my book because Archangel, so Arch means spacecraft, right? ARC spacecraft. And well, the H is the heavens, but angel are celestial beings of the heavens. So basically, the archangels were star seeds once, right? And they've now transcended so much because this was billions and billions of years ago. But so I kept my end. And actually, I'm telling you, I kid you not, Evie, the next day I could breathe. I mean, Louise had already helped me out partially, but he did that last, the last probably 40%, and it was gone. And that's how powerful it is. If you really ask them for help, they will help you. Now, the other one that I like and that helps me because I'd suffered a pinched nerve in my hip, and I do work out quite a bit, but I could hardly walk. And I like David G and his meditations, but he's got one that's really, really powerful, where you breathe through every part of your body, so through your hips, and throughout to the crown chakra. And it's so powerful because that's the art of breathing, right? Because the breath is when you breathe right, then oh, how do I put this? People often don't breathe right? People breathe very shallow till here, but especially when you meditate, you really need to breathe from the root all the way to the crown, so to speak. And I always do it at intervals of breathing in eight, holding it for eight, and then breathing out eight and holding it for eight. And it really reoxygenates the cells within your body. It's so powerful.
Yeah, we're not really extracting, I guess, all of the oxygen and, whatever else we need, a little bit of nitrogen or whatever it is, the mix that's in the air. We're
Excellent.
not getting enough of it usually. I often feel that way. Like when I'm stressed, I noticed first thing that I'm breathing really shallowly. I'm kind of going like barely breathing in. That like doubles the stress, when you start breathing shallowly. So I've tried to learn to like, okay, slow down and breathe normally. Hold your breath a little and then let it out. And just, I've had to train myself not to have that stress response. And especially when
Yeah.
driving, too. Like if I get stressed out when driving, sometimes I have to kind of breathe my way through it because
Yeah.
I'll start to get that clammy hands syndrome and like, just getting overwhelmed with things. Luckily, this doesn't happen every day. It happens rather seldom, in fact. But it's just good to know some techniques to kind of control yourself a little, instead of letting stress just take over.
Yeah, the other thing you can listen to is 432 hertz, which you can find on YouTube, and that's so powerful too. I love listening to that, not always, but I do, and then I do the breathing exercises. And you know what the great thing about it is? you reach that 0 point, and that is just amazing because you feel so centered within yourself and you feel just at one with everything. It's just so powerful.
I sometimes listen to the various binaural beats, meditation audios on YouTube, and they are pretty powerful. I don't know if it's the hertz that you, I thought it was 600 hertz or something, but there's like different levels, I guess. Theta healing, I think that kind of ties into that as well. So tell me about your book a little, because you've got one available if people want to read it.
Yeah, it's starting to do really well, surprisingly, but which is good. It's very unique. It's not really been written before. So I talk about, so the book is in two parts, and the first part is about the earth and how it came into existence. I speak of the Anunnaki, and I speak about the transformational times we find ourselves in and why everything happened the way it's happened. Then there's a message from to humanity from Mother Earth. I introduce Archangel Michael, and then the second part talks about my life, and it's infused with channeled messages from the many masters. Because I wouldn't call them mistakes, I call them experiences, but I was a bit of a slow turtle to begin with. And so I just hope that by planting this food for thought seed, that people start to awaken and that they, learn to live their lives as their most authentic selves. But I also discuss so my childhood and everything that happened in there. I talk about my youth, and then I talk about the modeling industry because I was also abused there. I talk about, my drug abuse as well, because after my stepdad passed away in 2000, I had a group of friends, and I did E and cocaine for like 3 months, but one night I took quite a few E's and I blacked out. And I like that's why I said I'm like a cat that has nine lives. But I talk about I introduced the Ascended Master Saint Germain as well. So I talk about depression, mental health. I talk about the fact that there is no death because yes, we have our physical essence. Right, but we're only temporary visitors here. I always say to people, you have to live your life, do not allow yourself to be lived. I talk about the all the people that I've met. I talk about my travels. I talk about the fact the Pleiadians. I love the Pleiadians actually, but they talk about the sacred union of love. And sex and the difference. I talk about people that have come and gone in my life, as in they've crossed over. A very close friend of mine, who was like a brother to me, Gwyn, he drank himself to death. My best friend, she died, gosh, time flies, nearly 10 years ago. She was 33, and she overdosed basically, and she was always very much against drugs, but her life just went out of control. And I have channeled messages from them from the other side. And yeah, so my dad is in there too because he's a multidimensional gatekeeper. And so he's shown me what life is like up, out there. Yes, I talk about all my toxic relationships as well and all the healing methodologies that I learned and how I healed myself. It's a lot. But it's like some people have said to me, it's like this book is encoded with healing as well.
Well, it sounds like something I would like to read. I mean, I like the fact that you've got your stories from the past and you've actually got some really practical stuff about healing as well. That's wonderful. Sounds like a great combination.
Yeah, I also talk about many of my past lives. I mean, some I've left out. I mean, don't think I've always been a goody two shoes, because I haven't. I've been an inquis I've been part of the Inquisition in Peru, and I waterboarded people. I cut people's hands off. And I was just like, yeah, okay. I was terrible. I mean, as a high priestess in Atlantis, oh my God, I used to love to manipulate people. So, but there are other, there were other lifetimes where I was part of the royal family in France, and my head was chopped off by the guillotine. So
So you've lived very intensely in past lives. I like it. That's great.
yeah. And like I said, I hope that when people read it, they start to think about life, and you know that they live a life that is fulfilling to them, you know, not because someone, many people, as I said, live life according to the societal norm, and we should just be living life according to the, you know, according to the music and to the tune of our own beautiful soul.
I agree with you. Yeah, you have to find your own path, and it's not going to
Yes.
be, may not even be the path that you think it's going to be, because early on in life, you kind of have this idea of where you're going, and then you end up sometimes in a very different place. And that can be a good place or a bad place, depending on your perception of it.
Absolutely.
So, well, Birgitta, thanks so much for coming on. I've enjoyed the conversation thoroughly. I love that you get into a lot of spirit contacts and all that. Sometimes I have to try really hard to pull that out of people, and I didn't even have to do that with you.
Oh, well, did you want to have a sample of the light language?
Sure, yes.
Okay. So let's see. Let me just sit properly. So I'm thinking, what shall we focus on? Okay. Is that what they want? Okay, fine. I can do that. They're saying inspiration. I thought trauma, but they're saying no inspiration. Okay, that's fine. Okay. All right. Ich meine Literatur, ah, sie, mal, kaka, ni, 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 ja, ach, ni, 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 Mama, mein, ki, ah, li, ja, wusch, mi, ni, ach, ni, ah, li, mi, ah, je, Mama, Popo, Pepe, ki, ah, sie, mi, uli, Mama, ah, chi, ni, hasch, 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 uli, Mama, ah, chi, ah, sie, ma, ni, kusch, mi, chi, alle, ma, kaka, sie, That is light language.
Wow, that reminds me of almost like an Asian language a little bit. That's very interesting. Fascinating. And what is the message?
So this is for inspiration. You see, every time I do this, I get high in my head. Normally, it's a little bit longer, but so this is for inspiration, as I just said. So this is to inspire people. So it doesn't speak on a conscience level. I explained this in my book with actually Archangel Nathaniel, who's lovely, but it speaks to the soul directly. So when people have a healing session like that, it's on a soul level that it starts to heal. And so on a conscience level after that, it will heal as well because you start to think differently. You start to think more clearly. It's helped many, many people.
I should say that I feel the angelic presence that you've evoked. As soon as you started giving that message or speaking light language, I could feel like a warm feeling in my chest. I could feel an angelic presence, and I feel it still with me. It's kind of like, and angels often show themselves in my consciousness as like a statue of a Roman god. I don't know
Wow.
why. But whenever I have like an angelic, like if I try to communicate with Raphael or something, I will often know that they're tuning into me because I'll see that statue of like a Roman god in my periphery.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel right now. It's an angelic presence. That's my cue that it's an angelic presence, and I can feel the wonderful like warm vibration of kind of bliss. Kind of like it's hard to explain, but yeah, that's beautiful. It's a beautiful language. I mean, I love languages anyway. It almost reminds me of like a hummingbird and an Asian language or something. Anyway, my thanks to you. You've put a lot of energy into explaining all of your contacts, spiritually speaking, and I really thank you for that. I know it's good for the audience. They're going to enjoy hearing this. So, we'll put the link to your website and your book and your services in the show notes for this episode so people can reach out to you if they want to.
Oh, thank you so much, Evie.
If you have questions or comments for this episode or any Disembodied Podcast episode, please leave them at disembodiedpodcast.com. Thanks so much.